Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, your host, and Faith and Family is underwritten by our great friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all the great things they have to offer. We have a link to Concordia on our website. That is kfuo.org. Well, this week on the show, we're talking about marriage and how us Lutherans can better prepare to have a happy and healthy, but most importantly, a God-centered marriage. We're having a different guest each day to discuss different areas of marriage. Now, we'd love for you to get in on this conversation, so give us a call. If you're in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email your questions and comments to us. That email address is family@kfuo.org. Our guest today is Miss Marty Lindfedt. She's a nationally certified licensed Christian counselor, and she's going to talk with us about marriage and counseling. Marty, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me, Liz.
Well, we're very happy to have you.
Thanks.
Yes. Now, as I said, we're talking about marriage today and how we as Lutherans can better prepare for a Christ-centered marriage. Now, other than a counselor, you're married as well, correct?
Correct, I am. I'm married for almost 32 years.
All right. Well, she's doing something right, listeners, so we need to pay attention here. Now, do you see couples who are married or engaged or both?
Both. I see couples who are preparing for marriage. I see couples after marriage. I see couples who are in crisis before and after marriage. So pretty much all the broad spectrum.
Okay. Well, this week we're mainly talking about couples who are preparing for marriage or they're engaged. What are some of the areas that you counsel those couples that are engaged, they're thinking of getting married?
Well, I think one of the important things is really to check preparedness, as you're talking about, you know, how ready are you to be married, and how much work and effort and planning are you putting into preparing yourselves to live together for the rest of your lives. Most couples begin preparing for the ceremony, you know, for that big one-day event, more than a year ahead of time, some 2 years ahead of time. They spend about 2 hours per week, and then as the event gets closer and closer, it kind of takes over those, you know, those weeks, and they put a lot of financial investment into that preparation. So they're just kind of throwing themselves into the ceremony part, or a lot of times it's the reception part, you know, the party.
Let's party, right.
As a matter of fact, CNN Money magazine surveyed 17,500 couples in 2012 and reported that in that year, the average cost, and this blows my socks off, it terrifies me, but the average cost that couples were spending on that day was $28,400. And there's just, you know, sin is the word that pops into my mind. It just seems, okay, we're putting lots of our time, lots of our finances into this day, which is an important day, but what's the importance of that day?
Right.
It's the fact that we're promising one another that we will be faithful, that we will be committed to our marriage, not just the day, but to this life that we're going to have together. So what do we know about each other as we come into that marriage ceremony? And that's one of the things I spend a lot of time on in premarital counseling. What do you really know about your fiancé? What do you know about his or her family structure? What are the things that are important to each one of you as individuals and with regard to your families of origin, and do they mesh? You know, what have you learned about how you speak to one another, how you communicate? So there's a lot of skill training that goes into, I think, an effective premarital counseling session. So, usually it's a number of sessions. It's not just one.
Sure. Tell us some of the other areas that you try to hit on when you're working with couples like this that are engaged to be married.
Sure. Well, a lot of the research indicates across the board one of the greatest areas of conflict in marriage and in families is finances.
Sure.
So you want to look at how financially prepared are they to be married? What mindset do they bring with regard to how to manage the money that will be their family's money? You know, how do they know how to budget? Do they understand, you know, how many hours or days they have to work if they're going to start looking for a new car or a new home? Things like that. Of course, you know, the starting point is what are your beliefs? What are your values? Do you really share a common faith? Sometimes you will have two people who are Lutherans or of the same faith come in, sit down in your office, and as you begin to speak with them, you learn that maybe they don't really understand what their church teaches, mm-hmm. or maybe they've taken kind of a cultural bent away from whatever their foundation was, and they have points of disagreement. So you want to unpack all of that and kind of get back to, okay, so then what does Scripture tell us about the things that you're in dispute over? We look at the roles in marriage and families. You know, what were those roles in the family that you grew up in? Did you observe things divided up by roles, and was it gender specific? Was it the skill we have with regard to task? Because there's assumptions that roles in marriage are divided according to gender, but that's not always the case. Oftentimes it's, I'm allergic to grass, so my husband mows, you know, and my husband is allergic to dishes, so I do those, you know, and, you know, the things that we prefer or don't prefer. Talking about affection and sexuality and how what God's design is with regard to intimacy in marriage and how important it is to have health in that aspect of our married lives, because it supports that emotional affection that God has blessed us with. We take a look, of course, at children and parenting, and, you know, which I know you're going to be focusing on, or the show will be focusing on in a few weeks. But what are your expectations with regard to children? Do you want kids? Oh, one does and one doesn't. One wants 10 and one wants none.
And so there's a problem.
So there's a problem. And then you look at, okay, so what do you think is important if you are going to have kids with regard to parenting? And, you know, are you one of the laissez-faire? Or are you a authoritarian? Or, you know, are you somewhere in the middle there? And, you know, so hopefully they can build some complementary skills that will impact their marriages.
So there's many different areas to focus on that can really, I guess, help the marriage
Absolutely.
Down the road. What about avoiding other problems or avoiding any problems in general? Do you talk a lot about communication between the two of them?
Yes, communication, and as you mentioned, problems, conflict negotiation and conflict management, how to work through differences of opinion. Sometimes you agree to disagree. Sometimes you really need to have a resolution in mind or hope for a goal so that you just don't keep spinning around the same problem over and over.
Right.
So, and communication is really key with, you know, helping people develop conflict negotiation abilities, you know, and being at the bottom of all of this, you know, as we look at our faith and the love that our Heavenly Father has for us, that He's poured out on us through Christ, that we're respectful of one another, you know, that we look at our spouse as someone that God has blessed us with, and that even when we're mad at them, you know, even if they're on our last raw nerve, okay, I need to take a big, deep gulp of air and ask God to fill me with the respect that I need, because it's not in me in and of myself. But it's vital to look with eyes of respect and look through the eyes of Christ at the one that He has blessed us with.
Absolutely. Tell us some of the common misconceptions you see in couples as far as what their marriage will be like with couples.
You know, I think one of the big scary things that we hear and see a lot is that, this bugs me a little bit now, but it'll be better when we get married, you know. I'll fix him or her. Or, you know, the very thing that attracted you, that crazy sense of humor, then you get married and it kind of gets on your last raw nerve and you forget that that's what really drew you to your husband or your wife.
Right.
Was the spontaneity. And then, well, why can't we just go by this rigid schedule? Well, you knew that wasn't that, your partner's gift or quality when you fell in love with him or her. So, the wanting a person to change is very, it's a big challenge. Rushing things. One of the things that I really frequently encourage couples with is, take your time. Give your relationship time. Things will unfold in God's time, surely. But just because you've got a date in your mind or a date on the calendar doesn't mean that if things aren't really, if you're not feeling safe or comfortable or secure, or you're getting some indications that God is pointing you somewhere else,
right?
Don't push yourself into a commitment that might not be the one He has planned for you. I think another thing is the misconception that everything in my home was absolutely correct, and those are the traditions that I need to carry through because they're meaningful to me, where your husband or wife thinks exactly the same thing, and you forget that one of the wonderful things about the husband and wife union is that we get the opportunity to create new traditions that serve this nuclear family that God has created when He instructed us to leave and cleave. It doesn't mean that we stop loving or caring for our extended family members, because we do. We love them and we care for them. But there's a new nuclear family unit in the one that He has formed with my husband,
sure,
or your husband, or Randy's wife. There's a brand new family, and in that family we have the opportunity to create new traditions. Sometimes the old ones don't serve us. For families who perhaps are in the military or are in a clergy role or in a highly mobile vocation, you're moving a lot. And a lot of times it's necessary to make sure that you're not becoming a slave to the traditions of your families of origin, because then it can create something very, very stressful for the family that you now have.
Right.
So you want to look for the opportunities for new growth, which
Absolutely.
Is exciting.
Now, yesterday we talked with Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden about the issue of living together before marriage. Have you experienced that couples who live together before marriage are more likely to have problems later down the road?
Well, I think the statistics indicate that is the case. There is, I think, a false assumption just culturally that it prepares you.
Sure.
But even among the secular statisticians, that's not what is being observed. That's not what's being recorded. I think that a lot of the couples that I've seen who have worked together, who have moved in together before marriage, in many cases, they don't take much time at all. The time that one
Right.
spends preparing for a marriage event, a wedding, oftentimes includes mandatory counseling. If you're getting married in a church, you skip that, when you move in together and you just grab your boxes and you go. A lot of times, from what I've observed, it's a very sudden decision. And so the thought and planning with regard to the things that we've just discussed, which still will have an impact, how are you going to handle your money?
Right.
How do you speak to one another, and how do you negotiate conflict? Well, they've not even, entertained that those might be a possibility. So some of the detail things that come with planning the event, you miss out on when you move in together. And then the legal protections that are afforded through marriage.
Sure.
And the cultural acceptance, though I recognize that in our culture that's eroded to in some areas, but the legal protections are not present, so there's risk. You know, there's a lot of risk. There's risk financially. There's risk legally. There's risk emotionally, because though you have not married, usually for one of the partners, maybe not for both, sometimes for both, but usually for one, there is that heart commitment that has strength such that when that relationship ends, the pain is devastating.
Sure.
And then there's a lot of mess to clean up.
Right. So there are different ways then that you would counsel a couple who's engaged but living together?
You know, because I am a Christian counselor, I'm going to be honest, I don't see as many of that type of couple, though I do see some, mm-hmm. As probably some of my secular colleagues who have primarily secular practices. And oftentimes when a couple who is living together comes in to see me, they already want to kind of take a time out from one another, from that dynamic,
sure.
and separate physically in anticipation of their marriage. So that's what I've seen. And I know a lot of pastors will require that.
Absolutely. Now, do a lot of couples actually attend premarital counseling? Or maybe I should ask if enough couples...
Probably
do.
Not enough,
yeah.
And a lot of times they will seek counseling because they're getting married in the church and their pastors require it. And I do see some who are getting married, and maybe they're getting married in the park, and they do want counseling. They recognize that they want as much of they want to cover as much ground ahead of time and really prepare. But a lot simply do not.
Do you think that maybe the idea of counseling before marriage, does that put off the wrong, I guess I'm trying to say, like...
Well, I think there's still a stigma,
yeah.
with just in the mental health field. I think particularly with either young emotionally or young chronologically,
sure.
couples, I see a greater prevalence of the assumption that love will cure all,
right,
and that they already know everything they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And with older couples, with couples who are coming to marriage perhaps second time around, I see also a greater need to prepare ahead of time and to look at the things, the variables that some of them we've already noted, that can hinder or help your marriage. And so there's a greater drive to counseling, a greater interest in counseling, even if it's not mandated by their pastors.
Okay. Are there ever times of counseling a couple who maybe aren't ready to be married and they come to that realization through
yes.
counseling?
Yes. I've had in my office... It was really tough, but I've had couples who were engaged and realized, gosh, you know what? I don't think we're going to get married. I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't want to do this. And while it's a very tough situation to partner, you know, to be a partner in,
right?
It's so much wiser to make that choice before they send out the invitations and before they actually go through the ceremony.
Right.
And it takes a lot of courage.
That's really something. Tell us about some ways of how premarital counseling can be effective.
Well, I think one of the important things is helping couples learn to talk to one another and to listen.
Right.
Even as important as the speaking part, the listening part, to really focus on what your future husband or wife is saying, and then being able to let them know, either by, you know, telling them back or commenting that you've really heard them. And so the communication thing is really key. And watching couples develop those skills where maybe in the first session they're just running over each other, you know, because while one is speaking, the other is thinking of what they're going to say in response. So they're not really listening.
Right.
You know, watching that transform and watch them really learn to speak and listen to one another, not only the words, but the subcontext of the emotion, you know, what's underlying those words, and then being able to communicate back to the speaker that they really understood what the heart was saying, what the words were saying. And you know, boy, that is an important skill. Watching that develop is really a gift. You know, to watch God work through that is just, it's a blessing to be in the room.
Are you able to talk with couples about how to keep God at the center of their marriage?
Yes, and so we'll talk about, you know, devotional time, mm-hmm. being connected to a church, when there's friction or when one or both really want to go down a path that is clearly sinful. You know, questions like, so what do you think, where do you find that in Scripture?
Right.
Or, you know, because then it's hard to find if it's, you know, if it's patently sinful. But, you know, how what do you think, I'm trying to figure out, as somebody who's a Christian counselor, what the Bible's leading us in this issue, and I'm stuck.
Right.
How about you? You know, and usually they're stuck too. And then we need to go back to the Scriptures.
It's a good place to go for couples, especially starting out.
Yes, yeah, and every step of the way through. And it's, you know, reminding couples, I think, that God is grace, is full of grace. You know, that we come to these marriages, and our intent is to glorify God and to
right.
have a blessed union. And we're sinners, and so we're going to fall off. And we're going to do it over and over again. And that's not permission giving. It's just recognizing that this is who we are. God's grace is sufficient for each one of us. And it's the grace that we need to then share. You know, we can't just hold it for ourselves and not be gracious with our husbands, with our wives, and with our children when they come. You know, God gives us the privilege, you know, to shine his face to the world. And sometimes we choose not to, and you know, reminding couples, you know, of God's grace is just so pivotal.
Right. Yeah. Now, I was going to ask you about how do you talk to couples about keeping God at the center of their relationship? What are some things that couples can do, especially in this modern day world?
Well, in this modern day world, you know, I will ask couples, you know, do you have devotions? So, you know, is God in your bedroom? You know, which a lot of times makes people feel a little flustered.
Mm-hmm.
But God needs to be everywhere in your house and in your marriage. And so we'll look at things like devotions and specific devotions. There are tools that I'll recommend to couples that help remind them and help them build that. Books, you know, I'm big on bibliotherapy. So Each for the Other by Brian Chappell, The Five Love Languages by Chapman and Thomas, Intended for Pleasure by Wheat and Wheat, which is all about our intimate relationship as designed by God, what he wants for us as husbands and wives. And for, I've recommended that book to couples who've been married for years and years and years, because it starts with very basic information that sometimes, you know, they didn't catch.
Right.
You know, Love and Respect by Egrich's, Marriage is Like Dancing by Richard Dyer. For couples who are premarital couples, and I recommend those for both people who are married and preparing for marriage, Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts by Parrott and Parrott. I oftentimes will couple that with Each for the Other by Brian Chappell, and I'll have each of the fiancés read the chapters and then discuss them together, and then bring to me what came out in their discussions after they've read those books. There are premarital inventories, you know, computerized inventories, paper and pencil things that a lot of pastors and counselors use that give a lot of information about the individuals and then what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are. So I use those as well. I use something called the genogram a lot, which charts the family system and closeness, distance, conflict, things like abuse, addictions. And then that's very important information for what we need to look out for, where the trouble areas might be.
Okay, well, it sounds like there's a lot of different tools that we can use to help our marriage. All right, well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Christian counselor Marty Lindvet. We'll be right back.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Those who are informed, in spite of the media cover-up of the abortion industry, are aware of the twisted mind of abortionist Kermit Gosnell being tried on multiple counts of murder. Testimony during the trial showed he was responsible for what's now known as the Mother's Day Massacre in the 70s. On Mother's Day, Gosnell and an accomplice bust 15 pregnant women in their second trimesters to Philadelphia for abortions. Gosnell wanted to test a sadistic abortion tool that was inserted into the womb. It had many plastic razors to dissect the child and generate an abortion. It wasn't FDA approved and seriously or permanently maimed most of the women. Because Gosnell wasn't held accountable then, more women and babies have been killed, resulting in the trial today.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Church of the Reformation Lutheran invites you to join us for Sunday morning services at 8:15 and 10:45. The Divine Service with Holy Communion is offered every Sunday. This is Pastor David Pelsu. Come to our Ascension Day service Thursday, May 9th at 7 p.m. and enjoy an ice cream social afterwards. We are located in Afton next to Fortell's Pizza near the corner of McKenzie and Higgy Roads. Church of the Reformation Lutheran with Christ at the heart.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has been there for me since I began the American leg of my journey as a refugee. Their staff helped me and my family to a local church in the community where I resettled, a church whose hospitality could not have been more important in my transition to a welcoming American society. Learn more about Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and journeys like mine, LIRS.org.
How many times have you hoped for a conversation with your pastor over a subject that interests you? You will have that opportunity tomorrow as we're taking a look at ruminations with our co-host, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Call in with some question that you might want to ask pastors and eavesdrop as he and I discuss the answer.
Weekdays at 2 p.m. on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
California pastor Greg Laurie is opening this National Day of Prayer with a morning observance at the Pentagon despite opposition from gay rights groups. The Human Rights Campaign and OutServe SLDN had urged the Pentagon to withdraw its invitation to Laurie, the honorary chairman of this year's National Day of Prayer, because he teaches
marriage is given to us by God, and I believe it's a man and a woman. But look, if somebody doesn't agree with that, they have the right. But I'm not trying to censor anybody else, and I don't think this is try to censor us.
An Army spokesman says the Pentagon chaplain invites the chairman of the National Day of Prayer to speak every year and is keeping with that tradition. Laurie says it's a shame that
people want to label Christians as intolerant and bigoted, but I find a lot of times that people who seem to be the most intolerant are the ones that talk about tolerance the most.
As Greg Laurie sees it,
intolerance is saying you have no right to say that, you have no right to do that, and I'm going to stop you. Well, that's not the way I feel.
I'm Steve Coleman.
And welcome back to Faith and Family here at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman, and we are discussing Lutherans and marriage this week. Our guest today is Marty Lintvedt, a Christian counselor as well as a Lutheran here in St. Louis. We'd love for you to get in on this conversation today. Maybe you have a question for Marty, or if you have an idea of how other listeners can plan for a wedding without losing the true meaning of the marriage, give us a call if you're in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or if you're outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email your questions and comments to family@kfuo.org. Now, Marty, tell us a little bit about what do you think more couples need to spend more time doing before they get married than perhaps they are spending?
Well, I think more time spent in really getting to know one another and maybe spending time with someone like a counselor or a marriage mentor who can help them take a look at some of the areas of marital life that we know pose problems down the line. Couples spend a lot of time on the details with the, you know, the ceremony and the dress and all of that, and not that that's not important, it is, but, you know, down the line when one partner gets sick and you're needing to rely on one income, then what do you do? You know, how do you, have you figured out what your priorities are with regard to things that you might cut back? One of the books that I really, really do like, that I use a lot with couples preparing for marriage, that has some very, very good pointers, it was written by John Gottman, who among clinicians is recognized as like the marriage kind of guy, though he writes primarily secular books. They're utilized and even included in Christian book distributors because they're so strong. And he wrote, and I quote, "Hollywood has dramatically distorted our notions of romance and what makes passion burn." So reminding couples of what affection really looks like in true life. It may not be, you know, a close-up that fades into fog with, you know, hearts flying all over the place and this music going on. It may be agreeing to pick up the kids because the other can't get home fast enough from work. Or, it's your turn to do the wash, but I see you need this quick, so I'm going to do it. Gottman also encourages couples to nurture fondness and admiration, you know. Remind yourselves of the things that drew you to that person. And he's got some great, there's inventories in his book that where you're assessing what you really know about your partner. So getting to know your future husband or wife and trying to figure out, do I know his friends? Do I know what his family did for Christmas and will it work? He also reminds you to turn toward your fiancé or your husband or wife instead of away. And I think when we get ticked at each other, it's really easy to turn away.
Sure.
But we need to turn toward one another and continue those dialogues. Let your fiancé, your husband or wife influence you. He's not encouraging, you know, abuse and manipulation, but man, if your husband or wife has a good idea, don't get stuck in your own stubbornness such that you don't listen to it. Because I think we do that sometimes. I know I do. And if my husband's listening, you know, don't take notes on that. He would be the first one to say, yeah, you got that stubborn Norwegian going on. Solve solvable problems. You know, if a problem has a solution, try and find it. But sometimes you have to agree that, well, this isn't going to be solvable, so maybe we kind of set it aside. He encourages that we be tolerant of each other's faults, you know, because we have them, you know. Overcome gridlock. We don't want to get stuck in things and keep spinning round and round and round and round a problem. And then create shared meaning. you know, for you, Liz, and for me and my families, that shared meaning begins and ends with the meaning that we have as children of Christ, as children of God.
Sure.
And then, you know, we go outward from there. And what a gift that is. Reverend Ron Edmondson, who wrote something called Premarital Counseling, Things to Cover, which is available online, highlights the following points that are, again, some reflect a little bit of Gottman's and some are on his own, but you are different. We're not carbon copies of one another.
Right.
We're not going to fit into the same mold because God created us as individuals. He brought us together as a couple. But those individual differences can be highly complementary. And we don't have to be, you know, cookie cutters of one another. Those individual differences are to His, by His design and to His glory. He also encourages those who do premarital counseling to remind couples of the importance of leaving and cleaving, which is biblical. It doesn't mean that we cut our extended families off, you know, that we cease to have contact with them. No, we continue to love them, but our primary relationship becomes that with our husband or wife. And our moms and dads, whom we love, our brothers and sisters, whom we love, our aunts and uncles, whom we love, become a part of our extended family, that
right.
outer circle. And that's important, you know, for a man shall leave his mother and a woman leave her home. We start a brand new family. He also encourages couples to expect surprises. I mean, you know, that life does not go the way we plan it. And when we carefully plan it, that's usually when God kind of pulls the rug out from under us because we think, I know for myself, the times when I have carefully laid my plans, I forget who's in charge.
Right.
And that's when God kind of gives me a hard knock and reminds me, guess what, girl? You are not the one that's captaining this ship.
Right.
It is in God's hands. And expect surprises. Some of them are joyous. Some of them are very difficult. But even in those difficult surprises, even in the ones that cause us great pain, we have the opportunity to strengthen, you know, to grow and strengthen our relationships with our husbands and wives, with our families, and to try and determine how God will be glorified. Sometimes we don't see it till we're way at the other side. But He is through it all. This next point is probably something we could have started the show with when we talk about premarital therapy, counseling, mm-hmm. preparing couples. Make a commitment to marriage no matter what. You know, I committed to you through thick and thin. You know, through the difficult things, through the hard decisions, through the I think when we get married, we don't know what it means in sickness and in health until you hit that wall.
Right.
You know, and but that's what you committed to. Model after the right couples. You know, who is your marriage mentor? I think many of us, even if we come from broken families, God places in our paths, it might be in our church family, it might be a clergy family, some models of very strong marriages. That none is perfect.
Right.
But they are strong, Christ-centered marriages. Those are the ones we want to emulate.
Right.
Not the one that's on that soap opera, you know, because they're not going to be married but for, you know, an episode or two. And
right.
then they're going to move on. Evaluate often, you know, reassess. How are we doing? You know, did you like that as much as I did? You know, that was a fun date, but you kind of looked like you were going to sleep, so let's find something else. And again, you know, before the thing that I said could have gone first is this one, put Christ first. Always put Christ first.
Very well said. Now, couples can overcome many
yes.
troubles. What are some of the troubles that you have helped couples overcome and that maybe they're happily married today?
Well, oftentimes there is maybe perhaps what we call enmeshment with their families of origin. Maybe they aren't, you know, haven't found the way to really bond with their spouse because they have not, they have not achieved the leaving and cleaving. So, you know, helping couples learn about appropriate boundaries and how our families are redrawn with significant life events like marriage is really important. Helping people learn not only how to manage their own anger, but how to speak to appropriately someone who's backing you down by how they're using their emotions. You know, sometimes you have to help couples determine that perhaps there are abusive elements present in their relationship. And when you see a couple successfully negotiate through that, which means each person individually has work to do, but then they have work to do as a couple so that they no longer fall back into abusive patterns, boy, is that, you feel like you've really, really been privileged by God.
Right.
To, you know, to just see their marriage or their relationship grow in health. I frequently work with couples where there's been infidelity, and that's a tough one. Some couples cannot negotiate those waters, but mm-hmm. some do. And some marriages grow stronger at the other side of it. So those are some of the things, you know, with the premarital counseling. Oftentimes, it's addressing the family of origin issues. That's probably the most prominent thing. And addressing assumptions that might be misplaced,
right.
you know, about what marriage is. What my husband should do for me, or what he should be for me, as opposed to, you know, a lot of times when I have assumptions about the other person, I cease to have expectations of myself and my role, my obligation. I think as we help couples learn to communicate, we recognize, or we hopefully help them learn, that we each play a part in communication. Usually.
Yes.
Now, sometimes when there's an abuse present, there is someone that has much more power in a situation. But in most marriages, in most dating situations, you know, we have shared responsibilities, shared joys,
right.
and shared obligations when something goes wrong.
Right.
You know, it's, I may respond to something, or my husband may respond to something because I did something wrong to begin with. And I have to own that.
Absolutely. Listeners, what do you think? We'd love for you to get in on this conversation. Maybe you have a question for Marty, or if you have an idea about how our other listeners can plan a wedding without losing the true meaning of marriage, give us a call. If you're in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727, or you can still send us an email to family@kfuo.org. Well, let's talk a little bit about the big event now. So a couple's in love, they're engaged, they want to have this big wedding with all their friends and their family included. This can easily turn into an event celebrating two that are becoming one life for Christ into something a little bit different.
A lot of times it does.
Yes.
A lot of times it just turns into a big party.
Right.
And, you know, I think for me, you know, that reminder of, so what is the purpose of this ceremony?
Right.
You know, and it's very challenging when you've got the wedding planner involved and your job is something totally different.
Right.
It's trying to prepare them for a life together and not just for this day. And I'm sure a lot of pastors experience that frustration as well, you know, because sometimes my husband's a pastor and a lot of our friends are pastors, and you'll hear, you know, well, so-and-so shifted this appointment because they had to meet with the wedding planner, you know, this counseling appointment. Um,
Now, one thing I had remembered you saying, I think it was before the show, we were talking about how much money average people spend on a wedding these days.
$28,400 is what CNN Money reported, and that is in a survey of 17,500 couples. So it's kind of a big survey. I wonder who was in that survey, because with two daughters myself, that's really terrifying. I have a son who has been married, and we didn't spend anywhere near that. The priorities, I think, is the big question there. As as I pull back to your original question, the priorities, are you investing the same emotional energy, the same time in creating a foundation or looking at what your building blocks are with regard to Christ's design for marriage?
Right. Now, I've read also, well, I was going to say, is it safe to say that there may be a bit of status for family?
I think.
As far as, let's show our friends what we've got, what we can do here.
Yes, very much so, very much so. The families jump on board. Sometimes the bride and groom get carried along in the current.
Sure.
And it's the families that are, we have to invite this person, that person. It has to be better than Aunt Susie's. It has to be, bigger than Uncle Joe's or your cousin's. Oh, my goodness, they did this, but we're doing that, and
right.
We're going to show them.
Right.
And that's, I see it happen all the time, and it's very sad. And I think that's where our counselors and our pastors, God bless them. I hope our listeners pray for them, because they're negotiating the ceremony in the midst of all of the hoopla, and they are still focused on that Christ-centered ceremony, even if it's, I don't want to name a few places where we've been for weddings, but at the ritziest place in town,
right?
And you've got 17 bridesmaids that I haven't seen that one in 6 years, but she's still on the list.
Sure.
Simple is not a bad thing. Reminding our listeners that. Faith and family, the name of the show, is really important. Who is your family?
Right.
And it may include a lot of close friends. It may be half the country club. But the bottom line is, building that Christ-centered event, even if it's huge, how do we pull that focus in? How do we pull it in so that as we focus on that bride and groom, whether it's the pastor, the parents, the mental health therapist that's walking alongside, how do we pull it all back and remind them that the rest is just stuff?
Right. Any ideas you have maybe for gifts for a young couple, that's their wedding gift, something that maybe they don't get from everyone else?
When we were speaking out beforehand and we were talking in a funny kind of way about it, internet dating, which I think you're going to talk about some tomorrow.
Yes.
I mentioned a couple that were friends of ours, second marriage for both. The bride had 3 kids. The husband had 2 kids.
Right.
And we gave them family devotions, and she was so grateful for that and appreciative. So those are some things. Devotion books are really important. For some couples, gift cards, I know that seems very impersonal. Gift cards to a favorite restaurant with a reminder that you have to nurture your relationship. Maybe a home movie night assortment of a couple appropriate DVDs, popcorn, and, soda, or if you're so inclined, a bottle of wine with a reminder that, stay-at-home nights can be awesome.
Sure.
Things like that make really nice personal gifts that remind us that we have to invest in our marriage. It does not sustain if we remain on a treadmill. you know, of being captured by whatever is in our schedule that's dictated to us. You know, we have to be deliberate in saying, no, this is my family now, and it's important, and so I have to push that off my calendar and stay home tonight. Or, you know, we have to do our devotions, and sometimes that's a really hard thing.
Right.
To negotiate. So writing it on your calendar, programming it in your, whatever your technology is,
right.
With the alarm to go off that, oh yeah, it's devotion time. And then finding a faith community that feeds you as a couple is really, really important. Sometimes that takes some effort, some shopping. I hate to use that word in terms of you know, looking for a church, but you have to be in a faith community that feeds your marriage, that feeds you as a couple with the appropriate things, the right things, the scriptural things that reflect Christ and his truths and the truths of the Bible.
All right. Tell us a little bit of how forgiveness of sins can play a vital role as far as in a marriage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The fact that we live covered by Christ's grace is it's a basic truth that we need, that I need to internalize, that I need to externalize. I need to be forgiving and not just know that I am forgiven, but I need to be forgiving. I need to recognize that when my husband messes up, he usually doesn't do it because he just wants to make me crazy. And so I need
right.
to give him grace and you know, compel him to do the same. And then when kids come into the picture or extended family members, mothers-in-law, fathers-in-law, I have the privilege, the honor to show what scriptures taught me about forgiveness by modeling that for them. Because, you know, we sin daily. So do our in-laws. So do our kids. And yet, this is the family God's chosen for us. So the gift that he's given me, as he's forgiven me, is one that I'm compelled to share. Sometimes I confess I do it with resistance, you know, and then I feel like he gets the chisel out and he hammers on me because he's trying to mold me and I'm not very moldable. But forgiveness is so pivotal, and I'm so glad that you asked about it, because it's a daily thing. It's minute to minute God is forgiving us. And so it needs to at least be daily for us.
Absolutely. Okay, just under a minute left. What advice do you have for couples who are engaged? It might be a young couple or an old couple, as far as keeping Christ in their marriage.
I think you need to really seek those who encourage you to do so. So surround yourself with others who are Christ-centered. That doesn't mean your extended, you know, contacts. You might be witnessing to non-Christians, but in your close inner circle, you need to have those who reflect the faith that Christ has blessed us with. Forgiveness, over and over and over again, forgiveness. Give yourselves time. You know, relationships grow and form, and they develop over time. And so we don't need to rush the relationships that God is forming in us. Recognize that he is, you know, he is the captain of the ship. And it might not be a neon sign, but he will give you direction. And we need to trust his leading. And, you know, find a faith mentor as well, not just Christian couples to surround you, but trust your pastors, because they love you and they want to give you the guidance that they have been blessed with through their study and through their own faith.
All right. Marty Lindfeldt, thank you so much for joining us today
on
Faith and Family. You've had some great information for us. Coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, technology has taken us to a whole new era, even when it comes to finding that special someone. We'll talk with Linda Havick of something called Lutherans Online. It's a way to connect other single Lutherans. Join Faith and Family on Friday at 11 on KFUO. Make it a great day.